I want to talk to you this morning about trusting God's timing. Learning to trust God's timing. There are so many scriptures that can deal with this. We just celebrated Christmas, and yet even that day was a day that was an appointed day. Ever since Daniel prophesied a Savior would come, and then you come to the New Testament, and even in the Gospel of Mark, it mentions the fullness of time has come. When Jesus came, that was not a roll of the dice. It was an appointed day. And you often, when you read about the life of Christ, you find that there are appointed times when he would do something. You'll read that scripture, that phrase that says, "My hour is not yet come." Different scriptures deal with the appointed time. It says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 3, referring to the birth of the Lord coming. In Galatians 4, verse 3, it says, or verse 4, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." In Hebrews chapter 4, and verse 3, we read these words. We do? Maybe it's 13. That's what I get for getting a scripture 3 minutes before I go and trying to add to it. But it does talk again about the fullness of time. Even when Jesus died on the cross and said, "It is finished," that was a day that had been decided long before. Even Jesus being in the grave 3 days and three nights was an appointed time. For Jesus even said, "For as the day, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man." So the resurrection was an appointed time. And God had set times for his Son. Christmas was an appointed day. And I want to talk to you about trusting God's timing. And you may say, "Well, that's God's Son. I can understand God having days set for his Son." But you see, the Bible says in the Epistle of John, "Behold, what manner of love that God hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." So when you're born again, you are a son of God. Maybe not in the same sense of Christ, but yes, we have been adopted in to the family of God. And I want you to know that God has appointed times in your life as well. And there are set times that God has for you in your life, just as he did in his Son's life. We know the scripture says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. So there are appointed times, and I want to talk to you this morning about learning to trust God's timing in your life, because it's a principle that's taught throughout scripture. You can see it in the lives of people. Isn't it interesting that when God came to Abram and let him know that he would be a father, I believe Abram prayed that he would have children. And then one day God came to Abram and let him know that you will be a father. But he didn't tell him when that would happen. And he finally did tell him after about four or five times of coming to Abram and saying, "Abram, you and your wife are going to have a child." Well, Abram kept waiting and waiting, but he didn't know when it was going to happen, and many years passed. I thought it was rather interesting. A year before Israel was to be born, God came to Abram and said, it's going to happen about a year from now, or according to the time. So he did tell him, but he didn't tell him for at least 25 plus years. And the point that I'm wanting to make is that God has a calendar, and that he puts things at a set time. If you'll look at go back to Genesis, when God, when the Bible says, know the state of thy flock, I know my flock, and I know that 95% of you have been brought up in church and know your Bibles very well. And with that, I want to bring to your attention, in Genesis chapter 17, verse 21, a very important scripture that is going to deal with what I'm talking about today. And this is after many years of God telling Abram, you're going to have a child, you're going to have a child. Never told him when, but now he's going to. Genesis 17, verse 21. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. It is a set time. Do you know God has set times for you as well? How does this apply to us, his people? You see, all of us have ambitions. We have dreams, we have desires, we have hopes, and we pray for them. I believe God puts them in our hearts, and we begin to seek him, and we have these things that we desire. But the moment you prayed for that desire that I often believe God puts within you, the moment you prayed, God, in his infinite wisdom, set a time when that prayer would be answered. And he knew in his infinite wisdom. And it's according to his time schedule. There are different time schedules, by the way. I found this out going to Arizona. There's an hour difference. And I noticed when I was there that my watch, I didn't change the time, but other things automatically changed. My little cell phone, it seemed how to know how to change the time, and so did my iPad, and I kept getting confused. But there is a difference in time this time of year from Arizona to here, 1 hour difference. How many know there's a different time from our time to heaven's time? And when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, we have our times that we think things should be done and a certain schedule, but it's not often according to God's time. It has a different time. And so many things are according to his appointment. It is appointed unto man once to die. And yet another scripture says, why would you die before your time? I remember it was just about a week ago, a friend of mine who is pastoring in Coos Bay sent me a picture. He said, you may remember this. And it's a picture of three firemen. And it was just before I came here. I was in Coos Bay, Oregon. And I remember after preaching in the church on a Sunday morning, we were driving down the road from a restaurant called Sizzler. And as we're driving down, I stopped Brother Montgomery, and I said, Brother Montgomery, God just spoke to me. And he said, what did he say? I said, the Holy Spirit just told me that a fireman is going to die in a fire. And in fact, I think it's more than one fireman. And he said, it is awful dry out, I suppose, out in the forest fire. I said, no, it's not a forest fire, but I know that a fireman's going to die in Coos Bay. He said, when? I don't know. I just know I just saw what I saw. He called me up. I went home, and he called me about 3 days later and said, have you seen the news? I said, no. He said two, but apparently three firemen died in a building in Coos Bay. Well, anyway, this preacher who's pastoring there now, he had heard the story, and I wasn't aware, but when a fireman or a policeman dies, they really honor them. And I guess firemen and policemen came from several states away, and they built a monument. And right there in Coos Bay, they have a statue, I believe it's according to size, of these three firemen. And I thought, wow, it was appointed unto man once to die. I don't believe that was an accident. Well, it was an accident, but God has many ways of carrying out His appointments. What I'm wanting to say is for us as God's people to learn to trust His timing. God will heal and answer prayer in so many different areas of our life. But if you can learn to trust God's timing, because much of life is about waiting. We're waiting. Please don't say to yourself right now, I'm waiting for you to get done. We are waiting. We wait for so many different things in our life. We're waiting for a dream, a great ambition that you believe God has put in your heart to come to pass. Or you're waiting to meet the right person. Or you're waiting for this certain problem that you've been dealing with for God to take care of it. Or you're waiting for maybe a habit that you have had that you have been dealing with, and you're asking God for deliverance, and you're waiting for God to come and to help you in that area. But may we realize that the moment you prayed the very first time over what it was, God heard you. And in His infinite wisdom, He has a time when He is going to bring deliverance to you. You see, God has a set time to meet that right person in your life. There's a time, a set time, when your problem can turn around. There is a set time for that promotion to take place. I'm thrilled to hear about Michael's new job. And we had been praying, but isn't it amazing? There was a time when God turned things around. There's a set time for deliverance. There's a set time for circumstances to change. You may have been praying over something for quite a while. I just want to encourage you that there is a time when God has that He's going to deal with you. It may be tomorrow. It may be next week. It may be 5 years, it may be 40 years, but when you understand that God has a time, a set time, it takes the pressure off of you. It can take the worry off of you, and you won't be wondering so much of when it will happen, because if you don't understand God's timing and you begin to fret and stew and wondering, will it ever happen? Your life can be filled with stress and filled with worry. But if you can relax and rest knowing that there is a set time that God is going to answer that prayer. Some of you perhaps are praying for a situation a long time now, and you don't see anything happening. And you could easily get discouraged. What if God was to pull back the curtain and let you see when it would happen? Sometimes He does, sometimes He doesn't. For Abram, He didn't pull the curtain back to let him know when he would have that baby or his wife. But 9 months before, or approximately a year before, He did. But if God was to pull back the curtain and you could see the day that that deliverance would come, you wouldn't be discouraged. You would know it's going to happen. And here is where faith comes into the situation. God does tell us it will happen. He can give you an assurance that it's going to happen, but He doesn't tell you when. And as I mentioned, you may be waiting a week, you may be waiting years for it to happen. But my question is this: can you trust God enough to know that He has a set time when He is going to minister and help you in that area? He may let you know when, He may not. But if He doesn't, I pray that you can have a trust and a faith, because faith will help relieve the pressure to help you have a better attitude. If you don't know and you're troubled, will it happen? Then it's going to affect your faith, and your faith is going to affect your attitude. And the Bible says that God doesn't want us to fret or to worry and not to be afraid, because when fear is in the mix, it will affect your faith and affect your personality. And I desire this morning, maybe you've already known this, but I just pray it will re-quicken into your heart and mind, that God has a set time, and if you can learn just to know that He's heard you and do what David said, when David said, "My times are in your hands," that then what am I to do? Just keep living for God and trust God and know that He's going to help you. There's a set time when He's going to turn that thing around. There's a set time when those finances will change. There's a set time where He can work into your life. Because here's what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. Those who have believed do enter into His rest. You know there's a rest for you to enter into when you believe. And the way you can tell if you've believed or not is you have a rest. You have something in here that says, I know that God has heard me. I know that God will take care of this. And it gives you a peace on the inside. And yet, at times, the enemy will be there to try to rob you of that peace. I've told this story different times, but when I first became a youth pastor in the church in Roseburg, Oregon, went there with about 7-8 kids. We'd grown to about maybe 15, so there's excitement. And one day, and this wasn't being positive. There's a difference of being positive and hearing from the Lord. But I really believed in my heart I had heard from the Lord, and that He said, you're going to have over 100 young people in your youth group. If I was just being positive, I wouldn't share that. But because I really believed I'd heard from the Lord, I shared it. And so the young people, I don't know if they believed me or not, but we began to grow. And we were growing and growing and growing, and now we're running about 70 kids in the youth group. When things happened that were out of my control, that now that I'm married with my wife, we knew we had to leave and to go back to Ventura, where my home church was. And yet I remember I was very puzzled, and some of the young people come up and reminded me, well, what about that 100 God promised? Well, God never told me when, but I wouldn't back down that, yeah, He did promise it to me. And then I began to doubt myself. Well, maybe He didn't tell me, but no, I know He told me. And we were gone, and after about 4 months, circumstances changed. And God, how many know, has a set time, and worked it out, and we were invited back to, and so we did go back. And the youth group had gone way back down, and we began to work, and it began to grow again. And I remember one Sunday morning, the Lord quickened to me, even though I hadn't counted them. We just had our Sunday school class downstairs, and now we're coming up to the start the church service. I'm sitting on the platform, and the Lord spoke to me and said, remember the 100 that I promised you? They are there right now. And without thinking, I leaned over to the minister, said, you remember when God, I said, promised me 100? Yes. Well, He just spoke to me and said, they're here. And he said, they are? Well, let's count them. I thought, oh, no, don't do that, because I might be wrong. And he asked them all to stand. And sure enough, there was like 102. And we didn't have that many in the Sunday school class. But God had a set time, and He had a way of doing it. You see, the Bible says in Habakkuk, this prophet who things were not going like he thought they should, and he said, though the cows are not in the barn, I'm not using the right language, but then he said, there doesn't seem to be the results that I so desire. Here's what Habakkuk said. He said, the vision is for an appointed time. Meaning, there is a time when God is going to bring about this vision that God showed me. Now, it may be slow in coming, but wait patiently, and it will surely come. And notice, not maybe come. It said it will surely come. And someone says, well, Brother Connor, everyone seems to be getting ahead, and I don't seem to be moving ahead, and I can get discouraged. Let me just say, you're not competing with them. You're only to do the best you can with who you are, with what God has given you, and you watch God bring these things about. And then when God does bring it to pass, and He does do it, He has a way of making up for lost time. And God doesn't operate by our logic. That's why it says, lean not unto your own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him. We have a way of saying, well, there's A, B, C, D, E. But God may jump from E all the way to STV. And we kind of just work this way when His time schedule is different than us, because we serve a God that doesn't roll the dice. We serve a God that is very smart. Very, very smart. He's planned your life. When He made creation, everything was according to a plan, according to a proper order. He didn't make man and then forget to make oxygen, and there's Adam, I can't breathe. He had already made the air before He made Adam. And the Bible says that your steps are ordered of the Lord. And if you just begin to think how precise God is, if the very hairs of your head are numbered, and they are, so are your days. And God knows your tomorrows. And we read in Proverbs this morning, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what tomorrow will bring. But in that, we know that He does promise to work all things together for good. You can trust God's timing for what you're believing for. If you waited a lot of years, it doesn't mean that you may have done something wrong. You may have said, well, maybe I've done something and it has disqualified me from God giving me my heart's desire. That's not true. Let me show you Abram. God came to Abram. He told him that he would be a father of a great nation. But we know the story where Abram, it says that he believed God. Well, yeah, he did on that sense. But one day his wife, Sarah, wasn't quite believing the Lord the way God had promised it. God said the child that was to be born would be through Abram and Sarah. But no child's been born year after year after year, even though God said. And so Sarah came up with this idea that, Abram, we're going to help God out. I want you to take my handmaid Hagar, and you go in unto her, and you can have a child by her. And it was a mistake. We know that it was a mistake. And God allowed it. He goes in unto Hagar, and Ishmael is born. And Ishmael was a problem. It never did work out. But what my point I'm wanting to make is this. Even though Abram made a mistake and Sarah made a mistake, it did not disqualify them from the promise that God had put within his heart to be a father of a great nation. And I'm wanting to say this. How many have ever made mistakes? How many have ever sinned? And, oh, I don't want to say sin. You can say mistake. We're getting so politically correct. We take away the words that are in the Bible. And I want to say, if you've sinned, God's promise is not going to be done away with because of your mistake or because of your sin and because of your unbelief. And He is faithful who has promised. And it even says in the Epistle of John, if we believe not, he will go ahead and do it anyway. And so His promise to you as a child of God, the Ishmael did not disqualify him from having the Israel that came along. And you see, God sees the bigger picture. If God did everything we asked for according to our timetable, it would limit us, because sometimes we don't have the wisdom and we ask for the wrong thing. And God knows how to close doors for things that you desire that you ought not. And I've said, and I don't know if I've coined it, but I've often said the hardest thing you're ever asked to do is to trust Him. That's the biggest battle you're ever going to have, is to trust Him. Fight the good fight of faith. And thank God He doesn't answer every prayer. But if there is an appointed time, then that means there can be a wrong time. If there's a right time, there's a wrong time. And we live in a society, in a culture, that is continually having its influence upon us, that we want everything right now. Everything is faster. Everything is quicker. In fact, we don't like red lights, and we don't like commercials. We want it right now. We don't want to wait. And yet the Scripture says this in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. Listen to these important words. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promise. Through faith and patience. Now, there's been a great emphasis on faith beginning in the 80s. Believe, believe, believe. And we've done pretty good on that believing part. But we ought to have the same energy and effort on the patience part as we do the believing part. We want the believing, and we want it now. In fact, we want it yesterday. But patience must come alongside the believing to inherit the promise. You see, it's easy to have faith when no waiting is really required. We've got the believing part down good, but what about the waiting part? You see, the waiting part is also necessary in order to receive the promise. And there's reasons why God has us wait. I don't have all of them, but one of them is your character is developed in the waiting time. Do you know that the Bible says when God was going to deliver Israel, when they were in bondage, He took them the long way around before they entered the promised land? Why didn't He take them the short way? Why did He have to go the long way around before they entered the promised land? And many have brought out, and rightfully so, had they gone immediately from being delivered into the promised land, they would not have been ready to fight the giants and all the other people that were in the land. And so God had to get them ready through the waiting process. And it is during that waiting time, in order for you, with your believing and patience, we inherit the promise. Don't underestimate the need to wait. God can be working on things, and so often we will say, well, I'll believe, but I don't want to wait. No, patience alongside with believing. I think all of us know what it is to be impatient and wanting it to happen now. Grandpa, get up, or I'm calling 911. Be patient with me, Brocky. I'll get there. I remember picking a watermelon. I didn't know you could bump them a certain way and find out if they were ripe. And it looked good enough to me, and I picked it, and it wasn't ripe. And I think all of us have known what it is to, when things aren't quite there, we try to help things out, and we begin to force things. And maybe if you're in a situation like that, maybe you've heard some bad news. Maybe the doctor's report wasn't that good, or maybe you're hearing of trouble and people talking behind your back, or maybe this problem you're aware of. And I know what it is to get frustrated and be upset when things are not, and you feel like it's coming against you, and therefore I'm going to take matters in my own hands. Well, be careful when you're going to fix it and take matters in your own hand. You have to ask yourself, the Bible tells me that the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And I've often had to learn and what be reminded in the scriptures when the Bible says the battle is not yours, the battle is the Lord's. But sometimes when something happens and we want to fix it and we're going to straighten this up, I have to be careful that I don't do it in my own strength and my own spirit, because I might create an Ishmael. And if I could just, through believing and patience, and by believing I can enter into that rest. And oh, how often we have to learn that God will fight my battle, and God will do it. And He has a set time where He's going to work it out. And often when He works it out, you realize it was Him. And wow, that was the Lord. He did something wonderful. So you say, well, Brother Connor, what do I do? I'm believing and I'm waiting. Add patience to it. And you say, well, what should I do? Do what David said, my times are in thy hand. And David also, we learn where he said, be still and know that I'm God. And I just want you once again to be able to bring yourself to believing and to add patience with it and know that God has an appointed time where He's going to turn things around and He'll work that thing out for you. Can you believe that? Let's stand this morning. He has a set time. And that doesn't mean that we just sit back and do nothing. We do occupy till He comes. We do as Jesus taught about importunity, and we do pray, and we do continually press and run the race with patience. But it said run the race with patience. And that means that I'm believing and I'm entering into that rest. And with believing and patience, I inherit the promise. I want to encourage you. God is going to do it. He is going to do it. All things work together for good. It would be nice if He came and told you 9 months before, like He did Abram. But He went 24 years without knowing. And that seems to be about the proportion in my own life and yours. Much I don't know when. I know He will, but I don't know when. Once in a while He tells me when. But it's those 24 years you may be in. I want to encourage you. Your times are in His hands. You're His child. As much as Jesus, there were times that were set. He has a time for deliverance in you too. Heavenly Father, we thank You. May we, Lord, fight the good fight of faith. May we add unto our faith patience. And oh, may we enter into that rest. And Lord, the way we know that we have entered in and we are believing is there is a rest that comes. The struggling goes, the anxiousness goes, the worry goes, and the pressure is off of us. I pray You take the pressure off of people, Lord, that may be struggling and worrying and fretting. Give them a peace that passes all understanding. May we know, Lord, as David said, my times are in Your hand. And You will, Lord, bring it to pass. This new year, Lord, that we approach, we don't know what is ahead. But we know that You are holding the day, and Lord, we are in Your hands. Be with Your people. Help them to say amen. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Turn to somebody and say whatever you want to say.